The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, I'm excited to be here today and so excited to have on our guest. He's the director of marketing for Four Oaks Capital, Mr. Brian Briscoe. Brian, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Hey, thanks a lot, Cody. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, thank you for being here. I know everyone's incredibly busy these days, and especially you guys, and I appreciate you making some time and coming on and educating myself and the audience. For those that maybe aren't aware of your background or where you're from or anything like that around Four Oaks Capital, would love to know where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days.
Yeah, so from Salt Lake City originally, 2001, when the, after the attacks of the World Trade Center, terrorist attacks, I went active duty in the Marine Corps, and I've actually been active duty since. So you do the math, that's, roughly 20 years. I'm retiring in 2 months. In the last 3 years, I really started focusing on real estate. I picked up a couple of single family homes, always been fascinated by real estate. But, about 3 years ago, I realized that, after 20 years, I could retire from the Marine Corps. And that was the impetus for me to start, working on what I call my exit plan. I realized that, my nature, I would have, if I didn't have a plan to get out of the Marine Corps, I'd just stay in. And that's part of the reason why I went 20 years is, I never planned to get out. And at each juncture where I could have got out, having no plan, the obvious answer was, well, I guess I'll stay in. I'm getting paid pretty well and, like what I do for the most part. So about 3 years ago, I started, formulating my exit plan. Like I said, I was fascinated with real estate in general, single family, and looking at how I could turn that into a business that would sustain me and sustain my family, after retiring from the Marine Corps. Eventually landed on multifamily, eventually landed on the syndication aspect, joined a coaching mentorship program. I was part of several, pay-to-play education programs where either they're curated content where I could go in and learn about various aspects of the business. Long story short, ended up linking up with, a guy named Eric Shirley, who's our current director of acquisitions. He introduced me to two other guys that ended up being co-founders of Four Oaks Capital. And we've since brought on a fifth partner, Kranti Panam, who's essentially our capital raiser, and now two employees. Right now, our portfolio, we've got about 500 units in the Southeast, pretty close to where you're at, Cody. Most of them are in South Carolina. We've got one in Augusta, Georgia, and then we've got another 144 units under contract in Florence, just a short little drive up the road from you.
Yeah, definitely not far at all. Those are all some really good areas. And let me say on behalf of our audience, thank you for your service and congratulations on the retirement.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I know that's got to be exciting, but different exiting out of something you've done for so long. I would imagine, Brian, like we have with a lot of our guests on our show, that while you've been in real estate and had some success, that it hasn't always been incredibly easy or smooth. So wanted to see what comes to mind for you today that help educate our audience on some of the struggle or some of the struggles you've had going through your career.
Yeah, I think the biggest struggle was one of the first ones. I spent a lot of time, and I think most people who are trying to get into the business, you spend a lot of time learning, you spend a lot of time talking to brokers, you spend a lot of time, analyzing deals and trying to figure out, is this a good deal? Is it going to make money? You spend a lot of time trying to court potential investors and be able to bring in the money. And, I've been doing this for, a year and a half, and we finally got a deal under contract, So it was a portfolio property. It was our first deal, and it's the property that brought Four Oaks together, So anyway, we had it under contract. We did due diligence, everything was checking out. It was a super old building, and the due diligence just uncovered that, hey, it's a super old building, no major issues there. We did get a big hitch, something that almost led us to not closing. I mean, we had some really tough decisions and tough conversations. It was a portfolio, two properties, and you know, both in South Carolina. And we were going to get two separate Fannie Mae loans. This was 2019, and if you guys, if anybody knows anything about Fannie and Freddie, you know, there's a federal cap on how much each one of the entities can lend. You know, and in 2019, Fannie was coming very close to that cap. And so we were working with the broker. You know, the broker was talking, you know, directly with the lender and, you know, with Fannie at the time. About 2 weeks before close, we were told that we were going to get about a 3.9, 3.8% interest rate, you know, and we thought that was phenomenal. We were super happy. Basically, Fannie decided that in order to slow down lending, in order to keep themselves under the federally mandated cap, that they were going to increase their interest rates. So we went from, you know, high threes to low fives almost overnight. You know, we were quoted a 3.8 on a Friday, and the next Tuesday, it was up to 5.2, you know. So it's one of those things where, you know, it really messed with the numbers in several ways. Number one, our debt service was going to, you know, jump significantly. But number two, the proceeds that they were willing to give us went down, because one of the things that the lenders look at is your debt service ratio. And if our debt service is going up, you know, the amount they're going to lend to us goes down. And basically 2 weeks from closing, we lost $500,000 in proceeds, you know? So, and when I say loss, I mean, it was never ours to begin with. There was always that caveat that, you know, things can change up until you lock the day of the. So yeah, we basically thought we were done with our capital raise. We thought we had everything tied up with a nice pretty bow on it. And then, you know, we got punched in the gut, essentially. You know, it was seemingly came out of left field. And all of a sudden we had 2 weeks to, you know, raise $500,000. And well, before that, we had to ask ourselves a question, you know, is this still a good deal? We had already raised over, you know, $1.4 million is what we had already raised. And most of that was sitting in a bank account. And we were, you know, last steps before closing. So we really had to look at, you know, how does this change the numbers? And end of the day, what we didn't want to do is bring investor capital into this deal and say, hey, oh, by the way, you know, we just closed. The numbers aren't going to be exactly the same as we told you. So we basically, you know, between me and my partners, we were in a couple different mentorship programs. We basically hopped on a Zoom call with, you know, the four of us and a couple of our experienced mentors. And we just talked about it. You know, we just talked about, you know, hey, what can we do? And this is where the mentorship was key. You know, one of our mentors pointed out there's lots of levers that you can pull to change how things work. And, you know, we had our analysis spreadsheet up on the screen, and you know, we started changing numbers, you know, as far as distributions. And what we ended up doing to make it work is we ended up going with a 6 pref return and then a 90-10 split afterwards. So essentially, we agreed that to make this deal work, that Four Oaks would not get much of a paycheck from this deal. We didn't take an acquisition fee, and we moved the needle to where, you know, it's 90-10 instead of like a 75-25 split between the investors and us. So, and when we did this, we realized that we wouldn't get paid, but closing on our first deal was more important than not having the payday, if that makes sense. So that was our first big roadblock, you know, and looking back at it, you know, it seemed enormous at the time, but, you know, after, you know, that was 2 years ago, you know, after 2 years, and we've closed on 8 properties, number 9's coming up soon. It's probably something that we could have handled kind of in stride nowadays, but it just seemed insurmountable at the time.
Well, and to your point, being that it was your first deal, I mean, that's a curveball out of left field that you hadn't prepared for. I would imagine in most of the documents and things that you've read from the mentorships, and I would imagine podcasts and books that y'all had listened to and read, that's not something that normally comes up. I know personally, I haven't seen any example like that on here's how you handle this kind of challenge. So that's an incredible curveball. I am interested looking back. It's great that you guys had a mentorship. And that's one of the running themes we keep hearing on the podcast is how valuable that mentorship is. What was it when y'all were looking at the numbers that ultimately made it make sense for you guys to move forward with something like this versus, you know, passing on it and looking for other opportunities that may still be out there?
Well, part of it is just our confidence in the area it's in. You know, it's upstate South Carolina, which is one of the fastest growing areas in the nation right now. You know, there was this is, you know, pre-COVID. You know, there were notifications, and I set up my Google notifications to let me know when new businesses were moving into the upstate area. And I was getting one or two a day, you know, big company moving to Greenville, big company moving to Spartanburg, big company moving to, you know, and so the economic activity was going in the right direction. Companies were moving there. They were creating more jobs, you know, and more jobs means more people, means more money. And typically that leads to higher rent prices, higher demand, you know, higher occupancy. So, you know, with all of that, you know, our confidence in the upstate and the economy in the upstate is what really kept us in the game. Our belief that upstate South Carolina would continue to perform well was kind of the thing that we kept on going back to. We kept on asking ourselves, is this still a good deal? You know, is this still something that we believe in? And what I kept on going back to is, you know, hey, this is upstate South Carolina. It's growing fast. You know, we'll take a haircut, but, you know, our rent projections are still solid. You know, our expense projections are still solid. The only thing that changes is how much we're paying to the lender. So,
and back to your point, I mean, for those of us that are looking to get in or doing our first deal, doing that first deal, going through all the phases of actually doing your first deal, it can be as valuable as actually collecting that paycheck and understanding all the different things that go into it, the moving pieces, the things that can fall through at the last second, and being able to mitigate those risks along the way, but also dealing with the challenges that pop up. That lesson was probably worth more intellectual kind of currency than it was an actual currency that you can take out of your bank and pay yourself with. So,
yeah. And that, you know, like I said, the just getting the first deal would, and, you know, in our minds at the time, we were thinking this will do more for us long-term, you know, than not, you know. So, and obviously we had to make sure that, you know, we were still providing the same projected returns to the investors. And, you know, essentially what we did is, you know, instead of funneling, you know, the extra money to the bank, we took the money that was supposed to come to us. And that's the money that we're using to pay the bank. And the money that was supposed to go to the investors from the beginning is still going to the investors.
If you don't mind me asking, what was the delta time-wise between closing your first deal and closing your second deal? Because I would imagine there's some folks listening thinking, okay, great, Brian and team didn't take a paycheck. Mm-hmm. I may not be able to, you know, listening at home, I may need that paycheck. You know, this is my livelihood. I've quit my W-2 or whatever it is, or this is my second gig that I want to make my permanent gig. What was the delta between getting your first deal done and your second deal done? Because I would imagine
Two months. Yeah. So, you know, and the second deal was different, and it was honestly that first deal that helped us get the second deal. So there was a broker, you know, out of Columbia that had pretty much given us the Heisman, you know, wouldn't talk to us. I mean, went down, I sat down with him for 15, 20 minutes, and apparently I didn't have the right answers, you know, and so wasn't returning my phone call, but a couple of weeks, and I don't remember if this is before or after the interest rate hiked on us, but I emailed him and I said, hey, look, you know, I understand that you probably didn't want to work with me a couple of months ago because I hadn't done anything, but we got this 55 unit under contract. We're closing in a week or two. You know, we've raised this amount of money. And all of a sudden, you know, he responded to that saying, hey, here are the listings I currently have. You know, we got one of those under contract, and, you know, we had a super short period to close. So we had that under contract about a week before we closed on the first property. And then, you know, 2 months later, closed on that one.
Well, it's incredible. I would imagine not only from the broker side, I would imagine dealing with lenders, dealing with investors, all of that became more credible and maybe even a little bit easier because you had something to say, look, we did it. We can do it. Yeah. We'll continue to do it.
Yeah, we raised just under $2 million. You know, we purchased $4 million in real estate. We had two Fannie Mae loans, which is, you know, almost like currency in this industry. So, you know, we had our Fannie card checked and, you know, we were able to meet, except for the experience piece, we had to bring some, you know, an experienced investor in to be part of the GP, but, you know, we met the net worth criteria for loans. We met the liquidity criteria for loans. And so just being able to close on two properties has essentially made it so we've never had to bring in a KP, you know, or an experienced investor into our general partnership since. So that's definitely been a bonus.
Well, Brian, I think that's as good a spot as ever to kind of wrap that up and mm-hmm. incredibly valuable lessons and understanding that believe in the numbers and the areas that you're planning on investing in. We keep hearing about the value that a mentor programs bring to the table, but also don't be afraid to get your first deal done and do what it takes to get it done. You know, making sure you're taking care of your investors and doing it correctly because it will make the rest of it that much easier from an experience and standpoint. So thank you so much for joining us today, Brian. For those that want to connect with you, maybe learn more about your experience or even work with you at Four Oaks Capital, what's the best place people could find you or reach out to you?
Best place, you know, we've got a couple of websites. The one that I think most of your listeners would be most interested in is an educational community we're creating called Tribe of Titans. And that's the main focus of what I'm doing right now is building that community up, you know, and a lot of our lessons learned are you know, poured into that community. So the website is thetribeoftitans.info. And, you know, if you're interested in that, you know, go to the website. There's a form to fill out. Or you can email me directly, you know, brianbriscoe@fouroakscapital.com or connect with me on LinkedIn.
Perfect. And we'll put all those links in the show notes so everyone can find them really easily. Brian, thanks again for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to join us. We really appreciate it.
Yep, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time too.
Yeah, thank you. And we'll catch everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.